love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Episode of season two of Might Delete Later.
Yeah, but we will be back. We'll be back in the new year. We're just having a little bit of time earth, which is French for egg. I'm Stevie Martin. Welcome to Might Delete Later. I'm becoming more and more right about social media being the devil.
And I'm Gina Martin, who thinks maybe she's right, but how could something evil feel so damn good?
To our guest, though, great guest this week.
Yes, Owen Jones is an infamous British newspaper columnist. He's also a political commentator, journalist, and Labour Party activist. He boasts 1,140,000 followers online. He is the number one. That's far too many. He is the number one best-selling author of The Establishment and Chavs. And his new book, This Land, offers an unflinching, honest look at the rise of the left, how it promised to change everything, why it went so badly wrong, and where it goes next in the new world we find ourselves in.
He's very funny on social media, despite the absolute bile that is thrown at him constantly. And he's so positive, and he turns, well, like I say, bile into just funny things. But also at the same time, like, he has had some real world attacks. Obviously, he was attacked on his birthday. He talks about that. It's bloody inspiring, if I'm honest.
We talk around lots of different things about safety and political things and difference in opinions and free speech and hate speech and all that, but it's like, it really does come down to that. Like, you have to retain hope, and he's a very good example of that. But before we sink our teeth into Owen,
okay.
Yeah, Stevie, what's in your drafts this week?
About a month ago, when you did that one day off social media thing, I also did it, and I found it incredibly useful. And I committed to doing one day a week off social media. And really happy to say I haven't managed it once, which is terrifying to me.
Do you want to do it together this Sunday?
Yeah, of course. Let's do it. What's in your drafts? What's in your
drafts? Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for asking. I will tell you, and I've just got a coffee account. Had a financial change in our lives, thought, oh, we can handle this, realised that's actually quite tight in terms of money. And that coincided with a lot of people asking how they could, like, support the work I do, the amount of resources I put out, all this stuff. So I just thought, do you know what? I'll get a coffee account. People can buy me a coffee. I put new resources on each day, things I've read. It's basically like, I'm not going to create original content. Like, I'm going to tell you about anti-racism because I'm learning about it. I don't really know all about it. So I just put like different articles, maybe a podcast or like a book I read or whatever on there. And then it's just like, we can all learn together, which is nice. But those resources are public, so you don't have to pay to get them because it's not original content. But it's really sweet because the first day I set it up, I was like, maybe someone will buy me a flat white. I got to put so many coffees.
Yay! Great. So let's go to the episode. Go to @MightDeleteLaterPod on Instagram to see all the posts that we're discussing today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a nice one. Quickfire round. What are we deleting this week? I'll go first. I'm deleting 4chan.
What about 8chan?
Oh, I'm deleting 8chan and 4chan. Because I feel like...
All the chans.
Because I've went into a hole and found out about QAnon and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I feel like I'm living in a different planet. Stevie, what are you deleting this week?
I'd like to delete reviews for all art. I mean, I know that art can't exist without reviews. But I would like to delete all the reviews because I think you should just enjoy things rather than having things trashed or elevated. What would you like to delete, Owen?
So I just press delete and then it's bam, gone.
Yeah,
stop, don't we? Forever. Yeah.
Well, like, stop. If I just got right wing shittery, that would cover quite a lot, wouldn't it?
That's a good one.
Because I'd get rid of 4chan and 8chan, they'd be gone. Yes. But also, like, the President of the United States, Johnson, Bolsonaro in Brazil, he's gone.
Yes. He's gone.
Get rid of all of them. We'd be fine. Right. Everything would be sorted.
What a lovely world we live in. No reviews, no 4chan, and no right-wing shittery.
Gone.
Excellent. Now, to kick us off, what's your daily average screen time like, Owen? Do you know?
It says 5 hours, 13 minutes.
That's really good.
I think that's a middle average. That's a good middle ground, no?
What are you on?
So I've actually got a new phone, and I haven't switched it on.
Convenient.
Yeah, I'm on today. It's right now it's 12:40 and I'm on 6 hours and 13 minutes. I got up at 5 a.m. That's not normal. I couldn't sleep. But 6 hours and 13 minutes. Get a life.
Do you feel like you're on your phone too much, Owen?
Yes, obviously. Clearly, self-evidently.
Good,
what am I doing? Why am I wasting my life? You know when you just sometimes you're like, I'm just scrolling through Twitter, just scrolling. Yeah. What do I expect to find? What piece of life-changing... You know, I could just read a book. Mm. I could just have a chat with a friend. I could, you know, expand my cultural horizons. And instead, I'm looking at people going, oh, you communist bastard. I mean, is anyone ever going to lie on their deathbed thinking, I wish I'd spent more time arguing with I hate BLM, Trump is great from Bolton?
No one's going to be thinking that.
I don't know. I said Bolton. I've got nothing against Bolton.
In terms of Twitter, though, so your relationship with Twitter, obviously not great.
Terrible. Dire.
In terms of being on there, do you feel like, as a commentator, do you feel like you have to be on there a lot? Do you feel pressure?
Yeah. I mean, you can't really do the job that I do without Twitter, probably. I mean, just in terms of my articles and stuff. And also a lot of my general kind of people who follow me for stuff often follow me specifically. I don't know why, actually, because some of the inane bullshit I come up with. Yeah, I mean, it's a necessary evil, but I could definitely use it less, because the thing with Twitter is, so, you know, if you're like having a really nice day and most people you meet are really nice, but one random stranger comes up to you and tells you to go F yourself.
Mm.
You remember that most, don't you? And that has more of an impact than anything else. I think that's the thing with Twitter. It's like, and I set my notifications only to people I follow. Though I do sometimes dip in just to see what's going on. And then it's like,
close the door again.
I've got to ask, what is the mindset behind you just like wanting to have a dip in? Like, why do you dip in?
None of us do.
Like reverse validation.
Yeah, it is. It's strange. I think a lot of people are on social, regardless of their career. So say like creative, like whether you're a journalist, whether you do what I do as an activist, whether you're a comedian like Stevie, you think you're doing it to an aim. So you're reaching, getting more following and trying to get people, explain your ideas to people and bring people in and all these things.
Exactly.
Do you think there'll ever be a point where you're like, I've done it now, I can come off it and let my work do talking?
I've really, you know what, I've done that thing twice, which is actually very irritating when people do this, but the reason I did it was for my own sake, was said, guys, I'm going to stop using Twitter except to just like post articles. Mm-hmm. And then I did that once, and then the 2017 general election happened. I was like, well, and then I did this, I did that in February this year, and then the pandemic happened. And I could not, yeah, and that was the problem. And I was doing it because when people do that, it's really often just self-indulgence. Like, no one cares. Why are you telling us this?
Yeah,
but actually, just go. You don't have to tell everyone. You're not that. You being on this platform is not like a big thing for most people in their lives. They've got better things to think about. But it makes you stick to it, you think, by saying it. It's like, well, I've said it now. And if I keep coming back, people are like, what are you doing? You said you were. But then both times, you know, I mean, it's hard to come off Twitter when the world collapsed and we were all under house arrest.
Really, I felt mostly connected because I was on social. Like, I wasn't seeing my friends and having the kinds of conversations I wanted to have. So being on Twitter and Instagram and just seeing other people going through the same thing, it kind of helps.
Do you follow accounts to switch off, or do you only follow the sort of accounts that I'd guess you follow?
What do you mean for like right-wing people? I follow loads of right-wing people.
Right, that's really interesting. Is that to diversify so you can see everyone's saying, so you're not just it's on.
But I also follow like musicians and stuff, bands I fanboy over. What I do sometimes, it's so pathetic, and I'm just going to admit it. What I do sometimes is go, because you obviously I can't notice people follow me generally, but if they're verified, and then I'm like, oh, blue tick.
Yeah.
How pathetic is that? And I'm like, who is it? It's and then can I say who I got this? I'm really excited by it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got Robert Smith, the singer of The Cure. This is so pathetic. And I'm like, I'm done. That's it. I don't need to.
Oh yeah.
Don't need to do anything.
Yeah, but that's a good feeling. That
we say like, I'm done, but we're never done. No, it's like, who else can I get?
Well,
who else?
Because I said this when Johnny Marr followed me. I was like, woo, Johnny
Marr. See, you're collecting rock stars.
But then he unfollowed me.
How did that make you feel, quite seriously?
Oh, well, I was a nervous wreck for a month, I would say. I started rocking in the fetal position, dribbling, wailing. Why? No, I mean, the only thing that he'd obviously done this thing where he'd massacred his followers because he went down to like 50 or something. But he was still, what he did when he was culling people, he was obviously a mass call. He was like, get rid of them, get rid of them. Saw my name, he was like, get rid of him.
Oh.
He had that one moment where he was like, I actively think it would be better for my own life if this person was removed from my Twitter feed. It's reverse validation. It's like someone famous walked off of me.
I hate that. Exactly. See, that's when the stakes get higher. It gets more like that. It's like, oh, but people thought, like, I got an email from Annie Lennox when I was doing the campaign being like, keep going, don't stop. And I was like, I think I'm going to be jam on the floor. Like, that is not okay. Like, this is, everything is worth it. And then I followed her and I worked with her. And then I followed her. And then she, like, replied to my tweet and didn't follow me back. And I was like, see, that's on purpose, isn't it? Because we met and you sent me an email, so you don't want to follow me.
Like, wow.
You seem very, very positive, Owen, and very, of course, you're like, my relationship's dire, while smiling, of course. But do you ever have... Does it ever, this is an obvious question, but does it ever affect your mental health? And how, if so, how do you cope?
It does. Sometimes I'll get into, there'll be some mad pile on. I'm like, oh my God, this is stressful. And people are like, and I'm like, why am I looking at this? It's like, oh, I'm trending at number three. Because I said people should, that was funny actually, when I said people should pay, if they can afford cleaners, they should pay for them to stay at home, and then that became Cleanergate.
Yeah.
There were seven articles written about it.
Because I didn't know, I don't know who started the thing, but I'm just like reading that everyone is talking about something. And if you trace it back, it's normally you.
It's mad.
Yeah, I don't, because people say there's always a main character of Twitter, and the game of Twitter is to avoid being that person. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I keep stumbling into that. Sometimes by saying something I just thought would have been quite innocuous in that particular case. But yeah, I mean, I think what I found with Twitter, without getting overly serious, is that what happened is when I started getting targeted in real life by far right extremists, like doing my job and then Tommy Robbins supporters coming after me going, and then I got beaten up by a Nazi. So then I was like, people online. I know. Well, you know, chalk that one up. And as that was on my bucket list, get beaten up by a Nazi on my birthday.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I think then it was like serious. But yeah, I mean, I think definitely having lots of people screaming minus abuse. I find most kind of often, not like often I just get abuse. I'm like, fill your boots. It's when people like question or my motives or no. It's like, aha, he's doing this because he's a careerist or because he, like I've got some ulterior motive. And I'm like, but I don't. I know what's in my own head. But yeah, I mean, definitely having lots of people. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not often healthy, and I often just end up, I just get in a little mad, a word that's not used enough. Yeah, I sulk. Yes. I'm like, I'm just scared. I'm like,
does it make you feel, because I feel like I'm constantly on this little flux of like feeling, you know, like you see things and you're like, this makes me feel better about people, and then you see other things and you're like, this makes me feel awful about people. Are you constantly in that flux, or do you have quite a kind of like, there's good and bad, I get it, like there's going to be this debate all the time, this was the job I picked, I sort of get it. Do you feel quite level-headed about it, or do you feel like it does really affect your mood?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I know, like, obviously, given the views that I have, and a lot of people are very, very opposed to those opinions, that's kind of inevitable. And yeah, I mean, some people, obviously there is, you know, some people are quite obsessed with the fact I'm gay in not a positive way, and they think, but
that's
I'm
a way
like
of putting it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Not in a positive
Not in a positive way. Which is odd because I don't think I ever suffered homophobia until I reached my 30s and then suffered homophobia on a relentless daily basis.
Wow.
Online, obviously, generally. I mean, you know, obviously I've had far right people screaming, Josie is a homo, which is an original riff. But yeah, I mean, online, yeah, definitely kind of, I'm resigned to the fact that I know it's going to happen, but it doesn't make it sometimes easier. Sometimes I get stuff from the... So, like, I called out this tweet about where someone compared Labour's slogan, Boris Johnson's slogan, a Vote Leave slogan, to Abact Mactify, the signature slogan of used by the Nazis and extermination camps. And I was like, you can't do that. And then that caused a big storm. And I had some lefty screaming at me. I'm like, oh my God, this is so depressing.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because you mentioned before about obviously what happened to you in real life that came from this online sort of hate that you get. And I remember when I was doing my campaign, I got so many threats by guys all the time. Yeah. And I was always terrified of it turning into a real life thing, because, you know, with our jobs and you're like, I'm doing BBC at six or I'm going to be here at whatever. And I just wondered, to finish off this little segment, did that, and did you notice that affect the way you are online? Like, do you not post where you are or whatever? Did it change anything?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, your campaign was so inspiring and incredible, and it's so important to always, you know, make clear that it's particularly women who suffer online because of the ingrained systemic misogyny. And it's not just men on the right, it's men who call themselves left wing. I'm always very suspicious when a man has feminist in their
bio. Oh my God, hugely. But how sad is that? Because that should, I always feel like that should be a good thing, but then I'm like, oh, you may be an incel.
Yeah, that's But that's why I just imagine a guy trying to chat up to someone going, I am such a feminist, by the way. Yeah. That's what it makes me think. So, but you know, there were some men who hate women with an opinion and women in public life who fight against misogyny. And you did that so amazingly and courageously. Anyway, suffered as a consequence. Yeah, I mean, before I got actually attacked, because there were so many incidents. So the Guardian hired the security company and they actually went through, it was really clever. They did this kind of deep dive and they went through my Instagram account and worked out my old home address through Instagram.
Whoa.
So they were like, you know, you've got to avoid. So don't, you know, I can't take, you know, don't have a picture of your window because we can use this and work out where you live. I can't post where I am. So when I do video shoots, I have to wait until we've left the area until I can tweet anything about where we are. We've got these systems and like, I can't, you know, after, you know, I can't late at night, even if there's a pub near, because when I got attacked, the pub was 7 minutes away and it was like, what happens if I mean, I left with five other people, so like I didn't leave alone. That would have been bad. But it was like they could have followed you home. And so it was like you have to get a cab everywhere, that kind of stuff. So in terms of my online behavior, I need to, but not in a kind of like, I won't post this because I'll upset the far right. Then they've won. No, the key thing is not to live in a reign of terror. Then they've won, you know.
I totally agree with that.
I'm never going to change my opinions, my beliefs. I'm not going to stop fighting for my beliefs. But yeah, I mean, that I have to do security precautions all the time.
And let's be honest, like that's just probably a good thing for most of us to be doing with big platforms, you know? Like I do that and I haven't been in that situation. So I think that's really important if you can keep some semblance of
yourself. You've been stalked. Quite aggressively. So, I mean, just a pop in.
Isn't
here
it great how you just spend your whole life going, no, honestly, it's actually fine. Like, I actually haven't been through that much. And then you go,
Actually,
it takes somebody with like no platform doing nothing to do that anyone would want to hurt me to go, actually, very much. It's very bad. I think it's
very horrific.
I think every time you have to think about, like, it must get easier. It must get like, okay, I just won't post with a window or whatever. But the first few times you're doing that, it must feel very like, oh, for God's sake, like, why am I living like this? Just why am I being forced to live like this? Just because.
Well, it's tedious, isn't it? A lot of them, it's just, do you not find that? It's just actually quite tedious and boring.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, well, let's get onto some cute stuff, like your first post.
Although you apparently deleted all of your first posts.
I think I did.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. I think just years ago, it was like 11 years ago as well. Mm. I joined Twitter in 2009.
Yeah. What were you doing in 2009?
I was doing a PhD, which I quit because I am a dropout.
Lots of people are dropouts.
Yeah. Woohoo. But it was something like, I know what it was. It was something like, oh, what's all the fuss about this then? Let's give this a go. And then my life was ruined.
Oh, that's a short story.
Little did I know, I'd opened a portal of hell.
Literally. Well, the one that's still available on Twitter, which is like the newer, you know, your first one that we can get, is just you replying to someone just going, ugh. Which I think quite aptly describes how we feel about politics now and probably for the last like 11 years. So I think you're pretty on the same stream.
That is my default. I know I'm happy now. Have you seen that meme where there's someone with a happy mask on, but behind it, they're just crying with rage?
Yes.
That's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's what we're all doing now. The second post, though, on the 25th of July 2011, it was talking to someone called Kit and Kira, and then it said, since its emergence as a political force, socialism has always had far more broader interpretations than that. So you're already just, you're in the political discourse straight away.
It's like, take the day off, Owen. Oh, socialism. Oh, socialism. Pathetic.
I was going to ask a question about, so you look, I've watched like one documentary and about social media, and so it's informing all of my questions. So obviously, I think it is obvious, social media is contributing to political polarization, things getting more extreme on the right and on the left, and people sort of seeming to pick sides in a way that, I don't know, looks to me from these documentaries I'm watching, surely that it's happening a lot more now thanks to algorithms and whatever. And you're sort of, I feel like, you know, you're often at the epicenter of the left with that and often sort of blamed for things. How do you personally feel about this kind of polarization? And do you think we can stop it? Just a very chilled out question.
Very chilled out. Yeah, I think often people look at social media as like the root of that, when actually the reason, like, in 1929, you got the Wall Street crash, you got the Great Depression, and politics polarized.
And Facebook started.
Facebook was founded in 1933.
Not many people know that.
And I just think we had a financial crash and we had austerity and people's living standards fell. And the response to that tends to be political polarization. And obviously social media amplifies that. Of course it does. But like, if you think about Donald Trump, you know, his voters are disproportionately older and less likely to be on Twitter. So, you know, it's the same with Brexit. The people most likely to vote for Brexit weren't on Twitter anyway, because older people are much less likely to be on Twitter. I just think, Twitter, obviously, look, people speak on Twitter in a way they wouldn't speak in generally often in real life. Like, if they were on, I mean, they sometimes will, as I've noticed people screaming at me with MAGA hats on. But generally they don't. But I do think what happened is, you know, we had this big economic and social crisis. And then in Scotland, that led people to think, well, we should just press the eject button and go for independence. And that was the first big polarization, yes or no, on independence. And that divided people. And people always spoke about cybernats online and how aggressive they were. But every political movement always has people online who are like, ugh. But they're not representative of the broader movement. But yeah, I just think people's lives became harder and more difficult. People lost hope and optimism. That leads people to turn to, you know, movements offering answers to it. And the far right or the right, you know, the hard right's answer was it's because of Muslims and refugees and immigrants. Whilst the left would say, well, actually, the bankers plunged you into disaster, got away with it, and you were forced to pay the bills. Should we have a more equal society?
But isn't, like, you know, things like a lot of the stuff that people will be voting for is because they've seen, like, you know, Anti-Denise on Facebook has seen some sort of insane advert that makes no sense. That's been paid for by a particular political party and things like that. And that's the thing that sort of makes me very concerned about how it's the people in, like, the people in the middle who maybe wouldn't, who, like, I don't know, are now sort of becoming more extreme, that you're kind of, it's quite stressful to watch sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, definitely those Facebook ads, because I've, like, spoke to people on doorsteps who are regurgitating disturbing things they've seen on Facebook. I'm like, oh, they believe that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. My only worry is, I mean, I do think there needs to be, we need to talk about it. It's just often there's this moral panic about that, that the fact that there are newspapers on a daily basis saying very extreme things about Muslims, migrants, refugees, benefit claimants, trans people. Like, you don't have to rely on some dark ad on Facebook to have things which are just lies. You know, the Sun newspaper, which, you know, from Hillsborough to, you know, that's fake news. What they put on the front page about Hillsborough was fake news. And it was put on the front of a newspaper read by millions of people. And, you know, and they've done that repeatedly. You know, they did it about this claim that how many Muslims in Britain are sympathetic to ISIS, and they had to apologise for it months after it, not on the front page, after all the damage is done. So I think you're right. There is online social media a big problem, on Facebook in particular. That let's not let the media off the hook.
Okay, so let's go on to your worst post, which I actually think is a banger.
It's not, by the way, I wasn't saying it's a worst post. I don't regret the post. I do not regret the substance, but the execution could have been improved.
I see. Okay, so it's a picture of you, you're in a bar, you're smiling, you're pointing at this girl's t-shirt, who looks very excited to be in a photo with you, and she has excellent shirt, I'm sorry, but it says, "We'll suck dick for socialism," and you've put as the caption, "Fact." And tell us why you slightly regret part of the execution here.
Well, okay, so originally this actually came out, I think the reason she was so keen to pose with me is that a few days before that, there was this right-wing Republican sticker in America on a bumper car sticker type thing, and it said, "Socialists will suck you dry." And I was like, I shared that with, and that's a promise. And that got loads of retweets. And then, so she was alluding, I was on the day before the election, I was in a gay bar. I was in the Glory, great queer bar in Dalston, and obviously full of queer people. And she'd worn that t-shirt to a queer bar for a very specific reason, because she was like, going to be full with, well, there'd be loads of guys who like to suck dick here. So, and then she was like, "Owen, let's have a picture together." And I was like, yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah. And I pointed at it with fact, in the kind of like, "I will suck dick for socialism." And do you know what? I've done it for a lot less.
So, I love it.
And I was like, maybe some hot guy will like message me off the back of it. Who knows? This could be great. And also maybe it'll, you know, if I would, you know, if that's what it takes to get socialism, I'm all like, yeah, fine. Right, you know, and I'll
wouldn't
you know,
it be great
I'll
have, if that was the answer.
Oh, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'll have a great time. Why not use my only talent in life? No, it was so the whole thing. And then it was fine, right? It was absolutely fine. But then anti-trans activists jumped on in it. And they were like, "This is misogyny." And it's like, oh my God.
Hang on, what? How?
They're like, "I'm saying that women should be subjugated into providing
sexual..." But that's
sexual...
not the context of the post.
I know. It drove me mad. They were like, and some people were like, "Labour lost the election because of this."
I actually can't. Like,
imagine that's like, I was going to vote Labour, but I've seen Guardian columnist Owen Jones in a gay bar pointing to a woman wearing a "I will suck dick for socialism" t-shirt,
and I am
voting Boris Johnson. Yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah, they were like, loads of, they claimed it was like this misogynistic pose, when obviously the
woman
point
is
was,
wearing it.
She didn't just wear, she made the t-shirt. She
love actually, her. Love
she
made,
what a misogynist that woman is for making she, that joke t-shirt.
She sells them online. She made
let's
the
wear
t-shirts
them for every episode going forward. I've
got it in the other room. I should have worn it because she sent me one. But she did really well at it. She got like 20,000 followers off the back of it. But what's even funnier about it, I don't know if I can say it's quite explicit, because Katie Hopkins jumped in it. It did really...
Thank God.
Thank the Lord. Yeah, here we go. So Ruby is her t-shirt. She's called Burly Bosoms. on Twitter. She's really funny. She's just a very great politics. Katie Hopkins tweeted going, "Oh, you should be ashamed, you disgusting woman." And she tweeted back the day after the election, "I will forever prefer..." Sorry, brace yourselves. Okay. "I will forever prefer to have cum on my face than blood on my hands."
Oh, my God.
I mean, which I also, fine. I would also agree with. "You and your party are responsible for the deaths of thousands." She got 12,000 retweets for that. So that was a banger.
Oh, my God. Vote her in. Do you know what? Look, we may have lost the election because of that post, but a small business did very well and the best comeback of our times.
Comeback. Yeah. Very good pun.
Hey.
But I don't know if I got any action off the back of it.
I think that's great, though. I mean, but maybe inadvertently you got action because people were like,
best action. You got social action.
True. Yeah, I got exactly. I got, yeah, certainly got a debate going.
Yeah, well, that's a great word. Who needs sex when you can get a debate going? So the post you're proud of, so it's a quote tweet that you did. Someone with, you know, too many numbers in their username just very kindly tweeted you some information. "I'm going to buy your book, then burn it." And then you quote tweeted it, "Why stop there? Buy 10 copies and burn them. That'll really show me."
Yeah, I just think always monetize your trolling. Like, yeah, fine. He was inadvertently became part of basically just publicizing my book, idiot.
Yeah.
So that was like, yeah, fine, great, yeah. Always use trolling to, you know, like turn it around and just make it, just be creative with it. Yeah.
I love that.
All press is good press.
Yeah, and everyone kept, like, it became a right wing, and they still do it. Go, "Oh, let's buy it for toilet paper." It's like, well, fine.
Yes.
You're buying it, mate.
It'd be great if you read some of it. That'd be nice, but I'm not going to, I'm not going to be devastated.
So you often do this, which I find very funny, this sort of thing where you will, there'll be some abuse you'll get, and then you'll retweet it and make it very funny. And it's always nice. It's always nice to see.
Take the sting out of it.
I was thinking, though, you know, obviously a lot of, we've mentioned the chans. You got your 4chan, you got your 8chan, maybe you got your 12chan, who knows? You got your dark web.
18chan, the worst.
Yeah, never really been on them, can you tell? And they often obviously want attention sometimes and want to, and they will often discuss who they are targeting, and they will post if the target of their abuse tweets about it, they'll post it on the forums, and then they'll be like, "Ah," or whatever. Do you sometimes feel like, "Oh, I've given these people more reach than they would have had otherwise"?
Yeah, I thought about this because there's one, speaking of 4chan, there's this 4chan meme which goes back a long time, which is genuinely believed by far-right incels, which is, I wrote in my first book, seems a bit off topic from my first book, which was called Chavs, The Demonization of the Working Class, that the reason I turned gay is I walked in on my girlfriend having sex. With a person of colour, and this was obviously integral to their kind of racist meme, and that I was so turned on by this site that this turned me gay. And this is widely...
It is wild, that.
No, but it's widely believed.
It's, I know, really, it's wild.
And they keep sharing it, like, and it keeps going around. So I have shared it before going, like, this is ridiculous. But I think, yeah, I probably just made it spreadful. But like, then I'm like... But then
2
I'm
million
like,
followers.
Yeah, it's like, and everyone's like... Well, maybe he did. Yeah, I mean, at the time, I was like, I was just, I mean, it is, I think it's quite funny. I'm not hurt by it. But yeah, I mean, they created it on 4chan and then they got me to share it on Twitter. So probably they're like, haha, victory. But then again, there is still a significant number of right-wing incels who definitely think it happened.
That's so weird.
Right. So I suppose it's like a balancing act, right? So like, well, the control you get means more than, okay, fine, now a million people have seen some, you know, like,
bullshit, silly thing.
That they have one follower, but I suppose it's still, it doesn't, yeah, you have to kind of balance it to be like, well, this, it's worth it, essentially.
Yeah.
Because you get to make something funny out of something that's, you know, shit.
Do you know what is funny about it? Is that it's definitely true, so it's like, why give this circulation? And sometimes, because it is just quite funny, and sometimes you get these people, they're like, they send you like, abuse, and they're like, left are triggered in snowflakes. And then I'll quote tweet them with a guy, take the piss. And then they'll be like, they'll just put their account on protect or lock.
Yes.
And they'll lock their account. You're like, that's so pathetic. Like, come on.
You can't take that, but you're giving me all the shit for all the shit I take every day from people.
Own it.
So finally, to round up, if you could give listeners, might delete later, one rule to stick to about social media, what would it be? If there's one rule we all have to stick to, what would the rule be?
Oh, don't read it before you go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
That's you're good.
Just,
that's...
Nothing is to be gained. It'll, you might see something that makes you angry. It'll disrupt your sleep. Why have you done that? Don't. Do you... At least 1 hour before you go to bed, do not look at Twitter.
Do you always follow that rule or do you break that rule?
Right. Yes.
Neither do we. Thank you, AJ, for coming on my date later.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it was
you.
A pleasure. Thanks, guys.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, Owen Jones, eh? What a great episode. What a great lad.
What a great lad, indeed. You can follow Owen on Twitter and Instagram at OwenJones84. Please
and look, do send some niceness his way because he gets piled on. Let's send some good vibes to Owen. You can also follow us at MightDeleteLaterPod on Instagram and at MightDelete Pod on Twitter. You can also email us any guests you'd like to see in the podcast. Stevie hasn't checked the inbox, but I have. Email us MightDeleteLaterPod@gmail.com and give us a subscribe. Give us a review. Give us a rate. Donate. It rhymes.
And go out and buy Owen's book. It's called This Land and it's out now.
And remember, social media can be a brilliant place for learning more about politics and building a community.
But it's also a petri dish for Nazis and online abuse.
But however you feel, remember, you might as well delete later. Bye! Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.